And we're thinking today about Mary. Let me read this to you, verse 26. And we're going to go through to the end of what is known by, I suppose, all Anglicans, but I remember as a chorister learning to sing the Magnificat. And I'm not going to do that now. So verse 26, chapter 1. In the 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that this mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I am conscious that as I've read that scripture to you, that it would be a mighty good reflective point to have this before us, because this very much epitomizes our scripture reading today. Shush. So I want to just ask some questions about this scripture. At this time of year, Roman Catholics, particularly, but for them really throughout the year, Mary is so significant to them. And what we have traditionally done as evangelicals is that we have said, "Oh, no, we don't do Catholicism. And we don't like any of the veneration of Mary. So we are big time not doing that." And Roman Catholics go a whole steps further forward, perhaps not this pope, but traditionally many popes have pushed hard on their papal authority. In some cases, papal infallibility. And we often think, therefore, that Roman Catholics have gone way off the rails. And yet, here, I think we find that we need to start changing our tune a bit. Because Mary has so much to teach us about the reflective life and our walk with Jesus. And to that end, whilst there may be some things about Roman Catholicism that we would still want to hold as being difficult, let us join hands with our Catholic friends in terms of what we think about Mary. It's worthwhile looking at what Luke says carefully. Luke writes, carefully having investigated everything in detail. He is, of course, Dr. Luke, medical guy. And doctors don't muck around. They are factual. They are detailed. They're careful. So the gospel is orderly and accurate. It's not thrown down in haste. It is carefully put down. And here in Luke 26-56, we in all probability have the report of the lady herself. For few, if any, eyewitnesses would have been present to witness all that Mary personally goes through. Think about that. She's held in high esteem in the early church, actually. Some people want to argue that it's one of the Gnostic Gospels. The Gospel of Mary is there, and yet she is actually accepted, not as being somehow secondary or somehow second best. She is accepted as one of the apostles, as one of the disciples. She's one of the believing community. And what we have here is therefore from Mary herself. There are three things that I'm going to try in a ridiculous amount of time to share with you. And we could go deeper, but firstly, Mary is favoured of God. Look at verse 30. Mary is favoured of God and thoughtful. Verse 29. And these two go well together. For as Gabriel shows God's favour to her, so verse 19 says, Mary treasures up all these things in her heart. Mary is actually the deep reflective. Mary is the deep thinker of the heart. I wonder whether some of you actually stand in a similar way to her. The deep thinker, the deep reflector. She has such great issues of God to think on. And yet, if you look at verse 38 of chapter 1, the way in which she accepts them is incredible. She accepts them with ease and in faith. Put yourself in her shoes. God arrives on your doorstep in the form of an angel, tells you one day that you are going to do mighty things for God, and actually what's going to symbolize that is going to grow inside you, in your womb, and you think, goodness. And that's an understatement, isn't it? Mary simply says, may it be to me, as you've said. She is indeed a woman, a maiden, favoured of God. And what we see here in these two chapters are two miracles of God's grace. Let's not rush through this incarnation. There's another word, by the way, brothers and sisters. You know, Christians believe wholeheartedly in the incarnation. That's the coming of God to us. We couldn't go to God. We still can't because we're in our sin. So God has to come to us. That's the incarnation. We don't do reincarnation. We do incarnation. And so what we see in these chapters are miracles of God's grace. The first to Elizabeth, a child to her that is barren. That's a miracle. And the second, the gift of God's Son to Mary, a virgin yet to conceive. And these are the works of God's grace, biblically. Grace is that act of God which we do not deserve. And yet, God chooses to do something for us and to us that is entirely of his will of grace and mercy. And these are works of God's grace, and the virgin is seen almost in the same light as the barren, yet to produce fruit, and dead until they do so. And God brings life, you see. God brings life to dead things in this story of the Nativity. Israel is dead, actually. Israel is dead. And God gives them another chance. Dead in its sin. And in a similar way, in an imagery kind of way, Mary is favored of God because she is to bear God himself, Jesus Christ. Think about that. What a privilege. What a grace. Grace to have a baby, but more so that it is God's. We tend to think of Jesus Christ simply biologically passing through Mary. You know, Mary's job is done, we might think. And that God somehow rents her body for a time and that's it, goodbye, farewell. No, absolutely not. Jesus Christ is Mary's son. It's not something that is cut, like the umbilical cord is cut. No, it remains that truth throughout the life. She knows him, and this is mother-child bonding at its very real basic nature. No less for Jesus Christ and Mary. Mary experiences all the pains of childbirth. Oh, we don't get that so much in the biblical story. And Jesus Christ is absolutely a part of those pains of childbirth. She feels for her baby. She thinks. She bonds. She knows her child. Imagine that, you see, when, as she watches on through the story of Jesus' life unfolding, as he challenges people, as he teaches them, and then as he hangs upon the cross, the mother doesn't stop being the mother. As Jesus hangs upon the cross, the mother is agonizing. The mother is torn. The mother is broken. God's son he might be, but he is Mary's son too. One thing here before we apply this. It's tempting to think that Mary is imposed on God to bear Jesus Christ. You know, God sits there one day and says, I need a mother. I need a mother. Who should we choose today? Randomly looks out. It's tempting to think that she doesn't have a choice in the matter. It would be interesting to consider what would have happened if Mary had said no. Gabriel goes, oh, I'll report back. I'll get back to you later. What if? Stop the camera. Let's look at this more closely. You see, Mary actually has a clear choice. There is a clear choice here. It's not inspired, for in verse 38, she actually agrees to this work of God's grace. Think about that. She agrees to the work of God's grace. How we need to be like Mary. Expectant of God, yes. Just a bit like Sarah was sharing. Ready, yes. Looking, listening for what God has for us. And we need to ponder the deep things of God. You know, friends, don't you worry about how fast we are living life? How can we actually be like Mary in a life that is just being lived too quickly? If we're going to ponder, if we're going to reflect, if we're going to stop and listen for the words of God, we've got to, our life is just too quick. Like Mary, only when we are slowing down can we treasure up these things in our heart. Questions, answers. Mary has them all. Whoa! I'm not sure I'm ready for this, Gabriel. I'm not sure I'm ready for this, God. What if? You can imagine Mary's mind going, what if? And so, too, we need to slow down. Secondly, Mary is obedient and believing. Not for her, the reaction of Zechariah. We all know about Zechariah. Zechariah has disbelief. There's spiritual barrenness. There's failure to believe in a God of the miraculous. That's Zechariah. Don't believe any of that. The cynic comes out. Not for her, even the reaction of Joseph. Look at Joseph for a minute. Joseph ponders and thinks for a while. That's code, by the way, for get back to me in a couple of weeks and I'll let you know, God. But rather the reaction in Joseph, rather than reaction for Mary, is one of total belief and obedience. Here I am. Do with me what you will. And she takes it all in a stride. Now, mums are very good at that. Her response is immediate. You know what it's like with kids, you know? I'm just going. Mums go, okay, bye. Do they? Well, they want a bit more detail. Mary's like that. She takes it all in her stride. And verse 38, look at it, is so beautiful. And it's so packed with meaning. Look at it. It says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary's saying, do with me what you want, God. You know, friends, isn't that all that we ever have, really, as the response? As people of faith, isn't that all we ever have as our final response to God? Here I am, God. Do with me what you want. I am safe in your hands. If we can't say that to God, who can we say it with? We're safe. We are safe in God's hands. I'm yours. Whatever you choose, that's fine. Whether life or death, whether change, whether brokenness or what, I am safe in your hands. For a moment, by the way, compare with Joseph's potential reaction. This is an important point. To take Mary out and to stone her is an option. Yes, that's what I said. Mary, in her thinking, runs the risk of being stoned. That's the Jewish law at that time. She's had a baby. She's having a baby. And it's not anyone's. Whose is it? She's obviously done this. There's a man somewhere we don't know about. Who is the man? She's committed adultery, and therefore that's the punishment for this crime is to stone her. What if she said that? She'd have been like Zechariah. I'm not going to do this, Gabriel, because the penalty is to be stoned. What if she'd done that? She would be not trusting of God. She'd be disbelieving. She'd be lacking in faith. Honestly, that's the logical response to this. So what Mary does is totally of real faith. I love what one scholar says of this passage. They say, Mary is the ideal Christian. Mary is the ideal Christian. how we should have simple, deep trusting and faith like Mary. May it be to me as you have said. Yeah, some of us are still fighting. Some of us are still fighting how we find ourselves. We're still saying, God, it's unfair what's happened in my life. It's not right. Do you see Mary saying that? No. You see Mary saying, may it be to me as you have said. That's faith. Mary is thoughtful and favored. Mary is obedient and believing. And then finally, she is worshipped. Ooh, that's difficult, is it? Imagine having the biggest shock of your life and then going into worship. We've been talking this morning about big shocks pastorally. Mary's response is to worship. She's visited Elizabeth, and the purpose and the breadth of God's plans become still clearer. And then she launches into the Magnificat. Oh, I wish I could sing it now. No, I mean, not that I wish I could sing it to you now. I wish I could still sing it now. There's a difference. What would you do? What would you do? If your life is committed to God and it's based on scripture principles, you have nothing except what God has given you. In short, you're totally in God's hands. This is a bit like we do on the EHS course. We think about the scripture where Isaac is about to be sacrificed. And the knife is raised. We're totally in God's hands. What is God going to do? What more can you do but to worship him, you see? It's a bit like Paul's reactions as he plants churches and steps out. You know, he gets thrown into jail. Oh, thanks a bunch, God. You know, you said I should go and plant churches. That's great. That's terribly romantic and great ministry. But now I've ended up in jail. Actually, that's not what Paul does. He celebrates and delights being in jail. You know, what would you do differently? Would you lick your wounds? I probably think I would, actually. Would you feel sorry for yourself? I think I would. I've ticked that box now. Would you take your eyes off God? Oh, yeah. I'll tick that one too. Would you hit depression? Yeah, I think I'd do that one as well. That's me. Mary shows every one of us up. Mary worships God. And so she is at the place where really we should all be. A place where we recognize that our lives are totally wrapped up in God's purposes. Where he is mine and I am his. Here are some questions I want to just put to you as we finish. Do you trust him through the storms? Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him with your future? Do you trust him with your bank balance? Do you trust him with your home? Do you trust him with your health? Do you trust him with your family? The challenge is, if we can't let these and others go into God's hands and, like Mary, be free to worship and say, may it be to me as you said, then we need to think again. Mary shows us faith. Mary shows us belief. And Mary, she's just a teenage girl. And she shows us what real faith is like. Let's respond.